بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم of the innumerable posts that we have in our various groups on current affairs. I noticed one this morning on an account of Israel playing the victim card in justification of what's happened recently in Gaza and also with the most recent military actions between Israel and Iran. What did strike me about the particular post where the person was referring to Israel using the victim card is not that it was untrue, but that it is very reflective of our human condition. I mean, there's almost two ways of being human. There's a way of being which is rooted in gratitude, and then there's a way of being which is rooted in resentment. There isn't a third way of being. The way of being that's rooted in resentment is fundamentally informed by a victim narrative. Because what a victim narrative is concerned with is articulating a view that you are subject to forces that are bigger than you, that are beyond your control, and that are dangerous to you, that you are a victim. Now, if that is what accounts for being a victim, then I dare say that any understanding or view of being alive and of being human that doesn't take the reality of a conscious rub into account, therefore sees the universe as a big, dangerous, and alien place, which is bigger than us, which is going to destroy us at some point. That in that sense, we are fundamentally tiny beings under threat by that which is vast. We are victims. So this victim narrative that is being articulated by the Israelis is really not unique. It is true for half of the way in which one can be human. And that being the case, I think it is helpful to then explore what the implications of that narrative would be. Because what is clearly apparent is that the stupendous extremity which the Israelis have sort of acted with, completely outstrips the harm that they claim was done to them, or the harm that they perceive as having been done to them. You know, let's bear in mind that I don't know what the casualty count is now. It must be certainly going on to 50,000 dead. That 50,000 dead is 50 times greater than the 1,000 that were killed at the outset by the Hamas action. So one can see that if you feel that you've been done in, that the retaliation that you think is justified bears absolutely no resemblance to the injury that was given. It's useful to just have pause for thought. You know, we speak about the lack of sustainability of the world that we're in. of people gouging out the planet and its resources, and it's, you know, and one wonders why that is the case. Well, if you've created this frightened being who's convinced that the world is out to get them, then you cannot ask that being for restraint. That being will not demonstrate restraint. Which means that the it is the psychology of the victim, the psychology that it is not good enough and there isn't enough, which lies at the root of our current destructive engagement with our planet, never mind other people. And the only medicine for this has to be a completely radical and uncompromising challenge of any victim narrative. It's very important to remember this, because the other, the most prevalent victim narrative that we're exposed to as Muslims is the Islam against the West, or the Americans against the Muslims, or the North against the South, or, you know, there's all of these ramifications of the same narrative, but it is still a victim narrative. And it becomes even more pernicious when the victim narrative is informed by theories of conspiracy, which make these forces that dominate our lives hidden. Now, this is not to suggest that these things aren't there, but the point is that they are not the fundamental authority. They are not the fundamental truth. The fundamental truth is that you do have a Rabb, and that your Rabb is Khairul Makareen. Your Rabb is bigger and more profound and more intelligent and more inventive and more creative than these dark forces that you see railed against you. And your Rabb will come to your defense. You do not need to come to your own defense. We spoke previously about the fact that we need to take back our autonomy and cultivate the autonomy of those who are in our care. That we can do. That we can do on a block by block, home by home, family by family, person by person basis. And we don't do it as an absolute, we do it by increments. You make sure that any person who is in your purview, any person who is in your comes within the ambit of your authority, that you engage that person. These are the two rules. You engage that person in the first instance in their interest and not in yours. And secondly, you engage that person with the intent to cultivate them as autonomous as possible. If you run a business, then that's what you do. You don't view the people working for you as a means to your end. You view them as a responsibility that has been given to you by your Rabb to cultivate human beings who stand the possibility of being worshipful and in awe, because it is only an autonomous will that can be in awe. That deliberate attempt to cultivate autonomy is possible for you no matter what the scale of your engagement with the world is. You don't need permission from the state or a boss or any other authority to, in every situation that you're in, to deal with the world around you in the interest of other and not in the interest of self in the first instance, and in the second instance, to engage the world when you're dealing with people in the interest of cultivating their maturity and their autonomy and their freedom and their independence. This is entirely possible. This doesn't require you to overthrow the American domination of the world. It doesn't require you to burn the dollars. It doesn't require you to support BRICS or to have an opinion about the Ukraine-Russian war or to engage in any grand sort of political objective. That is the struggle that needs to be waged. And that struggle is a liberating struggle, because that struggle allows you to incrementally recognize just how autonomous you still are. You know, you always have freedom with regard to what you're going to do in the next moment that you're in. The price might be very high, but you can always do what you can always make the contribution that's required of you. I mean, in extremity, if you notice somebody, a person being assaulted by a thug, you've got one of two choices. You can either ignore this or you can put your life at risk to defend the person. You say, but it's not within my power because the thug is bigger than me. Well, it is in your power. The price might be a little bit high. That's the only problem. The problem is, are we willing to pay the price? The problem is not whether we are free or not. We are always free. So let us not engage in our perpetuating our own victim narrative and the victim narrative of Muslims. You have to understand that when you perpetuate that narrative, you become as bad, if not worse, than the monsters that you are you're accusing. Alhamdulillah, may Allah grant us nearness to Him, may He grant us annihilation in Him. May grant us death before we die. In Allah wa malaikatuhu yusallu ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin abdika wa rasulika nabiyyuna wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim taslima. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillah.